Today's going to be really good. This is going to be really exciting stuff today. Guess what? It's stuff you've already heard.
Hallelujah!
Isn't that great? So you know what's great about that is you don't have to relearn it. Praise the Lord. You're not going to have to hang on to some new piece of information because we're going to get to do what we learned. Because I am telling you right now, doing these things, doing the Word of God is actually getting me the best results in my personal walk. How many of y'all can say the same thing? You know, I used to hear those people saying that a doer of the word, you know, faith without works is dead. You got to do the word, you know. And I was thinking, they're telling me I got to stop smoking. I got to stop swearing. I got to stop getting high. You know, that's what they're telling me when they're telling me to do the word, you know. Faith without works is dead. And I had a wrong idea of what it was to do the word. Now I know what it is, and I get excited to do the word. So turn with me in your Bible, and let's look at a couple of things the Bible says, shall we? I don't know where I want to focus on, so let's start in Philippians. Let's do that one. Philippians 3, verse 20. I just want to let's look at a couple of things that we already know, all right? And then we'll look at some things that we're real familiar with, and then I'm going to put it in the context on how we're going to use this information. Are you with me on Philippians 3:20? And it says, "For our citizenship is in heaven." Let's think about that again. For our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. So where are you a citizen of?
Heaven.
That means that is your place of origin, right? It's the place you originated from. It's your home. You're a natural citizen of heaven because you were born in heaven, right? You were born in heaven. When you got born again, you got born by God. Right? God is God of where? So if you're in His family, where's that? So you are a natural citizen of heaven. Okay? That's your citizenship. Okay? That's where you hail from. Now, you may be one of these Christians that has a dual citizenship. You may be from heaven and earth. You may think of yourself as still having your citizenship or your origin in earth, as to who you are in earth. And if you're putting the emphasis in that, then you're just carnally minded. That's all. You're thinking more about your flesh than about the real you. The real you is born by God, and that's spirit. And that has everlasting life. That you had a beginning, but you will continue forever. Something that's eternal has no beginning and no end. It has always been, like God, who has always been. But we have a beginning, and it goes on forever. So we have everlasting life, life that does not end. Because we have our citizenship in heaven, right? So when we got born again, that's what happened. Let's look at two other verses. Go to Colossians 1 with me. And in Colossians chapter 1, I just want to read one verse. Verse 13. Are you with me? He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed or moved or transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. So we were in darkness. We were on the earth. We were natural people on the earth, right? And then we got born from God, and Jesus moved us from being natural people into the Spirit. Okay? That's what that says. Let's look at a confirming word. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians and Colossians are sister books. They're basically the same content for the most part. written in two different churches. They were circular letters. Some people say they were spread around. So these two letters are awesome for everybody to read. Are you with me? So we're going to look at verse 2:6. Let me start in 5. Emmy, you can just go ahead and stay there. It says, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together. Where? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Right? He put us there. We were dead in trespasses in a natural person, and being made spiritual, he moved us into the kingdom of God. Right? So, you are in the kingdom of God right now. Whether you can hold that in your being or not is a matter of what you've been taught in your life and what you put your attention on now. You have to have information. You have to have knowledge in order to operate in anything. And if you have no knowledge that that's who you are, you won't operate from that place. But when you know that you are spiritual, that you are seated in heavenly places, that you are in Christ Jesus, that your sins are completely removed, no longer are you even, God doesn't even relate to you according to the flesh anymore. Flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God. It has nothing to do with who we are. Nothing. However, being on the earth, but not of the earth, we're in the world, but not of the world. How many of you have said that before? Okay, that's true stuff. But you know what happens? We say these words, walk out of the building, and relate to the world in all of its glory. So what we have to do is really figure out a way to hold this truth within ourselves as our reality so that the rest of our lives, it lines up with the truth that we hold in our heart. Okay? We have to learn how to do that. And as a group of people, I'm going to show you how one of the many ways that we can do that. So, let's look at this verse. Philippians chapter 4. No, we'll go there next. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. We're still over in that area. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Are you in chapter 2? Emmy, go ahead and start in verse 5. As you therefore, having received Christ Jesus, nope, that's not. That's Colossians 2. We're going to start. Did you just do the? Okay. I'll start in 5. We'll catch up on 6. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. What does he mean that he's with them in spirit? He's not physically there, but he's with them in spirit. What do you think that means? Go ahead, shout it out. I'll repeat what you say. With his prayers. What else? He sees them spiritually. What else, Cherie? You're thinking along the same lines? All right, so let's think. Connected by the same spirit. How about this? If I say, he said this. He said, my spirit goes with you. Say we all decided we're going to go do something. And I couldn't be there with you, but you all were going to go do it. Go eat lunch, okay? But I said, I'll be with you in spirit, okay? What am I saying when I say that? Huh? I won't be there physically, but my heart will be with you. My attention will be with you. I'll still be connected with you, and I'll still be able to feel you. I'll still be able to know what's going on because I will physically be connected to you or spiritually be connected to you, emotionally connected to you as you go. My wife and I are emotionally and spiritually connected. When she has trouble, I know it. When she's in a really bad mood, I know it before I get home. When she's in a really great mood, I know it before I get home. How do I know that? Am I special? No, I'm connected to her. And we being connected, we can all kind of have our finger on the pulse of what's going on with all of us. We all can kind of interrelate to one another. So that is being connected in the Spirit, because in the Spirit we are one. And Paul's heart was with those people, so he was able to be connected with them. Amen? That's really good news. That's really important. That means none of us are actually alone. How many of you have done this? How many of you had thought of somebody and dismissed it because you're busy? Then you thought about them again a little later, dismissed it, you're doing something. Then you thought about them again, and lo and behold, they called you. Huh? And they called you. And here's what they said. I was just thinking about you, so I wanted to call. The very thing you didn't do that you should have done. Right? Because you were thinking about them, and you didn't call. Or you did call. Right? Why is that? How is that possible? Same Holy Spirit connecting all of us together. And we have relationship with each other, and so he knows how to make that communication with us. We are all connected in Christ. Let's move on. Now we can go back to verse 7. It says, I'll read verse 5 again. Though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the Spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. You've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so you need to walk in him. I need to walk in him. What the heck does that look like? Walking in Christ. Let's move on. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Wow! We need to do the word. Do the word. If we have faith that we can believe God when he says we're citizens of heaven, we've been relocated, that our sins are forgiven, that no longer does God deal with as a natural flesh and blood person, but as a spiritual son and daughter. He's not moved by need. He's moved by faith. People who believe him. What the heck is this saying? That we need to be rooted and built up in him. Rooted and built up in him. I'll say it again. Rooted and built up in him. How do we get rooted and built up in him? That's one way. Being in the Bible. Hearing what the Bible says. How else? How else? Wait a second. Get out. All right, go ahead. Obedience. Okay, maybe. Fellowship with God, with him, spending time with him. Yes. How else? Praying in spirit. How else? Huh? Worship. Great way. That's it. So we've got reading the word, praying in the spirit, fellowshipping with him, and worshiping him. Okay? Now, how many of you know we need to do that? I have two hands up. We need to do that. So, let's look at our day. Since we know this is who we are in the Spirit, and this is what we do, let's take a look at our day. We wake up in the morning. We maybe speak to the Lord, maybe we don't. Our feet hit the floor. We start our day. What does your day look like? You got here by 10:30-ish, maybe earlier. So what were all the things you did today before you got here? How many of you worshipped God, prayed, read your word, and fellowshipped with him? 3, 4, maybe 5. Okay? Is it vitally important we do that? Yes. Here's the thing. Some of us have a routine of already doing that. Some of us don't have a normal pattern of doing that. We don't, and we need to start one. So here's how we start it. We do what is not familiar or comfortable for us to do. Just pick a day. Just pick a time and just do it. Here's the way it works. We have given up, without even realizing it, our ability to choose to do things for the Lord. We've given up our ability to do that. You know how we do it? By being in the habitual way of living our life. We have a habit way of living that happens day after day after day after day, that out of our 100% of our thoughts, 95% of them are unconscious. They're routine. They're habitual. And we think the same thoughts day after day after day because we have a routine for the way that we live our life. Okay? There are certain things you make sure happen each day in your life, whatever your routine is. And you habitually string those together like a dance, the choreography in a dance. I have to make sure that I spend my 15 minutes in the Word. I have to make sure I get my shower. I have to make sure that I wash my hair and brush my teeth. I have to make sure that I get my coffee or my breakfast. I have to make sure that I check my emails or look on Facebook. I have to make sure that the animals are fed. I have to make sure the laundry is done. I have to make sure I go to work today. I work. I got to give my life to everybody else all day long. And then I'll get a little bit of a break. And on my break, I'm going to do this and this and this for myself. And then I'm going to get home. Oh, but then I got to make dinner and eat dinner. And I got to do my routine in the evening. And then I get to go to bed and start all over again and do it again. Okay? However your day looks, you have programmed yourself day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, to the point that there's actually very little space to do something different and new routinely. Very little flexibility in it because the normal habitual way of thinking, of feeling, of being, of chatter inside of me, the things that I say to myself on a regular basis, my point of view, my perspective, the way I'm used to dealing with the world, my opinions of other people and what's going on, my opinion of God and the Word, my opinion of what works and what doesn't in the Bible, my opinion on what I'm able to do and what God's able to do, if He's willing or able. So all that stuff is the chatter inside of me, and it gets so routine that the gap of new possibilities becomes very, very small in my life. No margin is what Pastor Trey says. Even though we have a desire to please God, even though we know the Word works, even though we know praying in the Spirit builds us up, even though we know worship is a requirement and not an option. The margin. So, can I give a personal testimony? Sure, why not? I'm up here. I got the microphone. Praise the Lord. I've started acting on this stuff, and I've been doing it for several weeks now. I've been doing experiments with myself. So what I have to do is I had to put in a part of my day to where I can only do new things in that time. I can only do new things in that time. I'm not allowed to do regular things. New things. And now I got this hour and a half in the morning that I set aside to do new things with God. Guess what? It's hard to figure out new things when you're used to doing regular things. I want to let you know, it's not as easy as you like. It's like if somebody gave you $100 million and said, spend it in the next 3 months and you can't waste any of it. You're not used to spending that much money. It would fry your brain. It'd freak you out after a while because you got to spend it and you don't even know how to spend it without wasting it and giving it away. You know, for you to hold that and actually do something good with it, you're not used to doing that. I'm just letting you know. So, will you try me? He says, yeah. That's like turning a kid loose in the candy store. Oh, they'll like it for a day or two. But after a week, oh, I don't want any candy. So I've been trying this out, and I've been experimenting with this. And one of the things that I've been doing is I did a teaching a few weeks back on Psalms 100, on shouting to the Lord. Shouting to the Lord, raising my hands, praising Him, coming into His presence with thanksgiving. Right? Look at in this verse what it says here. It says, rooted, verse 7, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Most translations says abounding in thanksgiving. Abounding means superfluous. You know what superfluous means? More than enough. I mean, if I had a cup and I filled it full of liquid and the liquid started running out over the top of it, that is superfluous. It's more than the cup can hold. It's more than enough, okay? It's too much. Overflowing with thanksgiving. Overflowing with thanksgiving. Overflowing with thanksgiving. Not stirring up thanksgiving. Not groping for something to be thankful about. Overflowing with thanksgiving. Rooted and built up in Him, in the faith, overflowing with thanksgiving. I'm going to challenge you to learn how to overflow in thanksgiving with God. I was sitting in my office doing my normal routine with God. I'd have my Bible open. I'd have my iPhone or my iPad open so I can run out the Greek words. My typical way of studying my Bible. My routine. And I'm sitting there and I realized I was thinking more than I was connecting with God. I was thinking about God more than connecting with God. And all that does is waste time. Waste time. We need to be in communion with Him, right? Relationship is connected. Like this. If I was going to go out, let's just say you and I were going to go do something together, okay? And we are supposed to go do something together. So we're in the car, and I'm sitting driving just, and you're talking, and I'm just driving. And you're going, Robert, I'm right here in the car with you. What are you doing? I said, I'm thinking about you. I'm thinking about you. Isn't that great? I'm thinking about you. And you're trying to have a conversation with me. Is that make you happy? That I'm thinking about you, babe. No. You want me to interact with you, don't you? Don't just think about me when I'm sitting right next to you. Talk to me. Touch me. Hold me. Amen. God's the exact same way. He never leaves you and He never forsakes you. Talk to Him. Be with Him. So I'm sitting on my couch, looking at my Bible, searching out my words like I always do, and God is out there somewhere. And I am on my little couch in my office at home. And here's what the Holy Spirit said to me. It says, do you even care about me? Do you even care about me? And I go, what the heck are you talking about? I'm thinking, of course I do. I'm in the ministry. I minister to people all the time. It says, but what about me? Do you care about being with me? And I go, yes, he says, then stand up and worship me. Stand up and praise me. Shout, make a joyful noise. Get in my presence with thankfulness. I'm going, all right, because I've just been reading Psalms 100. And so, I just got up off of my couch. I did not feel like worshiping God at all. I felt like being in my routine. And I started praising God and thanking God and shouting hallelujah to the north, shouting hallelujah to the south, shouting hallelujah to the east, shouting hallelujah to the west, praising God and thanking him for his goodness, thanking him for that I'm born again, thanking him that my sins are forgiven, thanking him that I have eternal life. Thank you that I'll be filled with his glory. Thank you for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for his love and manifestation in my life. I just started thanking him for everything and coming in his presence. And all of a sudden, I felt the presence of God come join me. He joined me in my office. And I broke out in tongues and started praying in tongues in a whole new realm of tongues. I sat down on my couch and I am in some kind of Tonganese language or something. I don't know what it was, but it's not my traditional tongues. It's a whole different ball game. And I'm praying in tongues like a wild man, just praying in tongues like it was important. And all of a sudden, just out of my spirit erupts English, and it says, "Save him, Lord, save him, Lord, save him." And I started crying. I'm going to do it again. I started bawling in my office. And I went back to praying in tongues, and I'm praying in tongues just like a wild man. And all of a sudden, I hear come out of me, "Save him, Lord, save him. You can do it. You can save him. Save him." I don't even have any idea who I was praying for. None. But the Holy Spirit did. Because he had my attention. He had my attention. I wasn't just droning on doing my routine. I had connected with him. Okay? So here's what I'm saying. So since that day, I make it a point to do something new with God. Something new. Because I have to break out of my routine of being mindlessly going on autopilot, expecting to have manifestations of the Holy Spirit in my life and not getting them and being disappointed and wondering why God isn't doing what I think God should be doing, when the truth of the matter is I'm not being who he created me to be. Is this bearing witness with anybody? It's not the typical healing school message, but I want to give you some hope here. This gets really fun. It gets really fun. So, being rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. He goes right into making us be aware of deceit and vain philosophies and all these kinds of things. Because it gets real easy to drop into your normal way of life. I'm going to give you an exercise. We're going to do it together. It's just going to be an exercise on the fly, but it's going to put in motion something you can do on your own. It's called Christian meditation. Christian meditation. Not Eastern meditation. Not mantra meditation. Not that stuff. Christian meditation. The Bible says to meditate on these things. Okay? We need to really learn how to meditate on the Word of God. And I'm going to walk us through an exercise that's awesome. Really awesome. Very powerful. So, look at this. Go back with me, if you would, to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 14. We're going to do verse 9 and 10. Acts chapter 14, verse 9 and 10. I want to point out some key things. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. Paul saw something in this guy that he had faith to be healed because he heard what Paul was saying. And what Paul was saying was waking up something inside of him, a hope, an anticipation, possibility of something different was awakened inside of this guy. And he was tuned in. And when Paul saw that this guy was tuned in, and was ready to receive something, it says, and said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leaped and walked. Paul saw that as he was preaching and teaching, this guy was listening to him. And he started noticing how this guy started perking up and hope was being established. Remember, you think about your friend, you forget it. You think about your friend, you think about your friend, they call. You're connected. We're connected in the spirit. We're connected. Paul's teaching, he's connected to this guy. And he notices this guy has faith to be healed right now because Paul's connected to him. So he turns right around, looks him in the eye, and tells him, stand up right now on your feet. Right now. And the guy stood right up and was healed right that second. Right? The Holy Spirit is always willing to help heal all of us all the time. He's willing to provide abundance in our lives always, all the time. He's willing to show us revelations of God always, all the time. He can't help being life and abundance because it's who he is, right? But it's a matter of us perceiving what is going on so that we can get out of our habitual way of being and start really magnifying God in our new lives. So here's what I want to say. I'm going to give us an exercise that we can do. We're going to be able to do it together, and it's going to be an awesome exercise. You're going to love it. It's going to be easy, and it's going to be great. But a lot of people do these things for a moment, and then they drift back into their hypnotic way of living. Why? Because it's easier? No, because it's familiar. It's familiar. And to start something new that actually takes your brain cells and your emotions and your mind to focus on something brand new and to hold it till it becomes your new normal, that's a lot of effort. And if you're willing to put the effort in, you'll get the result. How many of you have heard that before? You can apply it to anything. Okay? When we get a new job and we're being taught how to do a new skill, that is laborious, isn't it? Oh, man, you almost can't do anything in the rest of your life. You got kids, you got to cook, you got to shop, you got to do all these things and pay bills. You're kind of going, I'm on sensory overload because my job is being so demanding. I've got to learn these new computer programs that I don't know. But because you're getting paid for doing it, you will put the attention on it because it's like your whole future, your whole life is dependent on this job working. So therefore, the other things can take the back seat for a minute and they'll be a little squirrely because they haven't got your attention like they used to. But until you learn this new job and this new skill, things are going to be crazy for a little while. And you kind of know that. And some of you are even smart enough to tell your kids and your family, listen, for the next few weeks, I got to focus on this new computer program and you're not going to have my attention like usual. Big boy, you're going to have to feed little girl. Little girl, you're going to have to feed puppy. Dad, you got to fend for yourself for a while. La, 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 because my attention is going to be over here, okay? And you get through it. 3 weeks or a month, you kind of got that program down. You're doing better at your job. You're feeling comfortable with everybody. And now the new money's coming in from the new job, and you're back into a new level of normal, right? Everything balances itself back out again. The same way in the kingdom of God, you guys. The same way in the kingdom of God. All the principles that we operate on here just continue straight into heaven. Straight into heaven. That's just how he does it. And so what we have to do is we have to find something that is big enough and important enough to make it a major part of our life. And that is wanting something from God. If you want something from God, and you know you can actually get it, you know you can actually get it, wouldn't it be worth setting up your life to receive it? Mm-hmm. Grant, you want to give me that testimony now? Grant has a little bit of a testimony from something Minton told him. Here, I'll just bring this over to you. And I asked him if he would share it.
Well, I was having a hard time remembering.
Hold it right in front of your face. There you go.
Okay. I had a hard time remembering the name of a tree. which is a crepe myrtle. And I mentioned it to Minton, and Minton told me every morning when you get up to go over these little things, which was you say out loud that I am quick, I am sharp, I am bright, I am smart, and I am good looking, and I am a blessing. And I started doing it, and I can remember crepe myrtle.
He started a new habit, which is that he's smart, he's quick, he's good looking. That's all I can remember. See, he even remembers what he says because he says it every day now, you know. Yeah, and a major blessing. That's it. And you know what? The thing is, as he's been doing that, it's been feeding him on the inside. And his short-term memory now is more alive because he's starting something new. Listen, that's important. This may sound really dumb, but it's true. Your brain has something called neuronets, right? Neurons in it. And those things are connections to your memories and your thoughts and everything that you are, okay? And what happens is we think certain things, we say certain things, we do certain things, neuronets are formed in our brains, okay? And when we start doing new things and operate in doing new things, new neuronets are formed and operate in our brain and make those things. If we stop doing the old things, those connections, since you don't need them anymore because you're not doing that, they disconnect and fade away. And the ones that you're doing become bigger and more active, like a little lightning storm as you're thinking all these thoughts and doing all this stuff, okay? That's real biology. It actually takes place in us. It's how we're designed, okay? That way, you are focusing and growing in a direction. Here's what's fun. You cannot, in your brain, tell the difference between physically doing something or picturing, meditating on, and imagining that very same thing. Both of those have exactly the same effect in the brain. Experiment. Take 10 people and have them sit down in front of a piano and practice for 2 hours a day for 5 days in a row, teaching them chords and how to play easy songs, okay? Take 10 people, never let them touch a piano. Teach them chords, finger positions, and have them visually for 2 hours a day for 5 days see themselves playing those chords on that piano and doing those notes and practicing that simple song. And for 2 hours a day, they just sit there and imagine. Somebody walks them through the exercise and they are seeing it happening. Okay? Take those two groups of people. Have a little concert on the sixth day. Guess what? These people that have been practicing for 2 hours flawlessly play their little song because they were physically there doing it. These people who have never touched a piano, not even felt the keys, sat down and play their little song flawlessly, just like the people that actually did it. Because your image center in your mind is what builds those neuronets and those connections in your brain. If there's something you can't do in this world, it's simply because you don't have the connections yet. You haven't taken the time to be familiar with it, to have those connections going in your brain so that you can do it. Believe it or not, this is as important as anything you learn in the spirit. Because here's the thing. You may say, I'm seated in heavenly places. You may say, I'm a citizen of heaven. You may say, my sins are forgiven. You may say, Jesus is Lord. But your life is a natural life on the earth because all the neural nets are still focused on the things of this earth. But if you'll take time to worship God, to read your Bible, to commune with the Lord, and to be aware of His presence, you'll build new neural nets in building a relationship with God, and then your life will manifest the living Word. Is that crazy? It's really true, though. I have been practicing it. Ready? I don't know how to tell you this without uncovering somebody else. I'm going to make up a story that's similar to a real story that I'm living. I can't do the real story because I don't have permission of the other person, okay? So I'm going to make one up that's similar, but just know it relates to a very real story that I'm living right now, okay? So I was having problems with this person. Mr. Meany Menchez. And Meany Menchez... No relation to Arthur, by the way. Meany Menchez. I was fighting with this guy all the time. And he was fighting with me. And we'd get together and we'd be like in competition somehow. It was terrible. And I really couldn't get a decent relationship with this guy because he was such a boogerhead. He had all kinds of problems. He had all kinds of flaws. He had all kinds of faults. He would explode in a moment and be mean all the time. Was the most selfish person I could even imagine. And I had to work side by side this guy every single day. I had to be in the car with him. I had to go places with him. I had to do just about everything with this guy. And he was raking on my soul, my mind, to where I was just irritated all the time. Just to think of him, it was just driving me crazy. Okay? And the Bible says to call things that be not as though they were. We forget that when we're in a battle sometimes. Because why? Because all the juices inside of us, all these neural nets are firing a certain way, which is causing my body to release certain chemicals that I'm feeling all this anger and frustration. And believe it or not, I'm addicted to that feeling. So I will even cause situations that manifest so that I can feel that feeling. Even though it hurts me, I'm used to it. Just like if I start worshiping God and praising God and getting physically involved in worshiping God, and the presence of God falls on me, and I enjoy the glory of God, in just a few days I can go back to my old routine. Because it's a habit, way of feeling. Pressing into something new is hard because the old is tugging on me and the old is like sucking me back into it. So much so that my conscience will even start saying things like, "This is your place, Robert. This is what God wants for you, Robert. Who do you think you are going against the natural flow of what God's put in your life?" I hear that inside of my head as I'm trying to do these new, brand new things, which I know glorify God. But my feelings and my emotions and my patterned way of being start speaking to me and saying, no, this over here. And I have to deliberately override it. Well, Meany Menchez is over there being a booger to me, and I'm hating it. And God says, call things that be not as though they are. So I go, okay, Meany Menchez is now going to be Majesty Menchez, okay? He'll be Majesty Menchez to me. So he's going to be king. He's going to be honored. He's going to be the one that gets his way. And I'm going to make him to be a better person. And I hate the guy. So I start saying, yes, Majesty Menchez, I'll do whatever you'd like. And inside I'm going, right? Because even though the Bible says call things that be not as though they are, I don't feel like it. I'll say these new things, but they sure ain't true. But I'll say them. Well, I'll tell you what. I started saying it in a way that made me laugh when I said it. And I started building this new identity of what our relationship was like. And I would say things like this. I have the most fantastic relationship with Majesty Menchez. He and I get along so well that we now complete each other's sentences. That I only got to think of what I want, and he'll say he wants it. It works great. This is wonderful. I took time to sit down and think about this person. Saying the new words to a person who resembled nothing like what I wanted. Within a couple of months, situations started shifting and rearranging. That Minnie Menchez had to go spend some time away from me for a while, which gave me a breath of fresh air that I can install this new program without him constantly raking on my soul. I got a little break from him to get the new program written. And I'd write it and I'd say it until I started laughing. Majesty Menchez, he loves me. Majesty Menchez, who I just giggle thinking of being with him all the time. Majesty Menchez, I couldn't have a better friend on the planet. And I'll tell you what, yes. No, we ain't got no time. Make it all about you. Sure. So here's the thing. Guess what? The next time I see Minnie Menchez, he's not Minnie Menchez. He had a little break from me too. He's more Majesty Menchez than Minnie Menchez now. It's like, wow, all right. So here I am every time. He starts ruffling my feathers because he can't help being himself. Starts ruffling my feathers. I go and I get ready and I feel the pressure rising up of that old addiction of the way I'm used to behaving, used to feeling, used to thinking, used to identifying. And I stop that program and I say, Majesty Menchez, he makes me laugh. And I'll go, ha, 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 ha. And I'd physically laugh and break it. Guess what? After a few months, yes, it took a few months, there's no sign of Meaty Menchez anymore. There's only Majesty Menchez left now. That's it. Because I took the time to break it. What happened? So now let's see what happened. What actually happened? I forgave him. Without even realizing I'm forgiving him. I'm not saying, Lord, I forgive him. I released him from that mold of how I saw him. That's called forgiveness. So that old programming, I didn't hold it anymore. I made it go away. That's forgiving. I called things that be not as though they were. I saw the best version of him for me. I took the time to see the best version of him for me. And then I started relating to that new version. Those neural nets of the old way disconnected. So when things start rising up, I don't get that flood of endorphins and those feelings anymore because those connections aren't there. And I'm getting new feelings, feelings of joy when I think about him because what I say, Majesty Menchez makes me laugh. And then I laugh. I got a new connection with the guy. Next thing you know, I really enjoy his company now. I prefer it. Now, I made that whole thing up because I'm relating it to another situation that I have that's absolutely real, and I'm living in it right now. And you know what the hardest thing is? Other people. Because other people saw the way me and him used to interact. And so their propensity is to put that on us now. Well, they may go back to that stuff. You know, whoever it is never changes their colors. Whatever it is. Who doesn't change their colors? Anyway, you know those sayings. Huh? What? A leopard can't change his spots? Right. You know, that says the way they are, they're always going to be that way. It'll show back up again. That's from the pit of hell, y'all. We're supposed to forgive and release. We're supposed to call things to be not. We're supposed to see the best. Think the best. Hope the best. Believe the best. Always. Amen? So, Let's do an exercise so that you can actually feel what it's like to walk out something new. Let's use this verse. Verse 4 of Philippians chapter 4. Ready? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Verse 5, let your gentleness be known to all men, the Lord is in hand. 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Let's do that. I'm going to teach you how I study the Bible now. It's a whole new way. Because I've already done all the Greek and the Hebrew and the English and the different words and running them out and all that. So I need to do something a little different. So you know what I do now? I meditate on the Word of God. Here's how I do it. Ready? Close your eyes. I start picturing this alive inside of me. I start saying, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So I'll sit down and I will see the Lord. And I picture the Lord there before me. And I start being all excited in His presence. And I rejoice. I'm jumping and down. I'm shouting. I'm hugging Him. I'm talking to Him really fast about everything that's going on in my life. And I'm just enjoying the Lord. Just as happy as can be with Him. The Lord is at hand. I really see Him right there with me. So now we're walking hand in hand along the beach. I can see my feet in the water. I can see the gentle waves. And look, the water's even clear. And the Lord and I are walking hand in hand, and I'm just so happy to be with Him. Be anxious for nothing. As I'm walking hand in hand with the Lord, I'm just feeling that ocean washing through me and His presence washing through me. And the love of God's just washing through me, and all my anxiety, all my burdens, all the things that I am responsible for, I let Him just wash right through me and out. But in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. As I'm walking with Him and I'm just so excited and feeling so good with Him, I just start sharing my life and my concerns. Just tell Him what you're burdened with, what you've been carrying, what your concerns are. And there He is, just listening like a dear friend as you're sharing. Then He looks over at you as you're walking, smiling, looking right in your eyes, and He starts to tell you something. Listen to what He's saying. You thank Him. You give Him a great big hug and a squeeze. And you realize that you feel so full and so content. And the peace of God that you now have just floods you and fills you. And it just guards your whole being because it's so full of His love and acceptance and grace. Then now your mind is clear, your heart is clear, and you feel completely revived. You thank Him and say you got to get back to your life, and you come on back here. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So, how many of you were able to walk through that and see that? How many actually felt things? How many, when the Lord started talking to you, he was sharing something with you? Okay? That is your spirit person engaging with God. That's the person seated in heaven engaging with God. But we have to quiet ourselves down, get in the Bible, and see and interact with the Lord on this level. Okay? So the same thing happens with healing. Here's what I do for healing, or for finances, or for a situation. I sit down at my table. I've got my eyes closed. I'm sitting comfortably somewhere, and I see myself sit down at my table. And in front of me is a pen and a piece of paper. And I write my request on the piece of paper that I want to be healed in my body for this or that, that I need more finances in my life, or I'd like to go on a vacation to such and such a place. And then I roll up that piece of paper after I've written on it, and I carry it in my hand, and I go see the Lord. And I take my request to him. And he usually meets me at this one place at the beach. And there's this rock, and the rock is big enough for him to sit on. And he sits on that rock, and it's a pebbly kind of beach, and the waters are coming in, and there's these great big rocks just in the water. But he sits on this rock just big enough for him to sit on, and he's sitting there. He's just so nice all the time. And I come with my piece of paper, and I'll be walking in, and he goes, "I know, I know." And then I just enjoy him, and I let my request be made known as I'm really loving on him and fellowshipping with him. What that does, my brain can't tell the difference between me doing that or if he physically appeared right in front of me on the beach and I did the very same thing in my physical body. I get the same results inside of me. That I start thinking on these things, and they start being a part of who I am as a person. And as they start being a part of who I am as a person, I can easily get into his presence now. I can easily know his heart for me. Because I sit down and I read my Bible, I sing and I worship him, I walk through these prayers of meditation with him, and I enjoy him from my invisible person on the inside and my physical person on the outside. I physically get up and raise my hands. I physically worship him. I physically praise him and acknowledge his presence. And then his physical, tangible presence and I connect. And we have that intimacy. That is what grows us up spiritually. And the more we do that and make that our normal way of living, it becomes our new norm, and we start seeing the effects of that praise in our life. We start seeing the effortless change that starts taking place automatically, and we start seeing our relationships enhanced and growing. Here's one. I know some of you have burdens that you carry on your heart. You wonder if you're doing enough for the Lord or not. You wonder if you're really doing what he's called you to do. You can easily go before him in your heart and mind and ask him what he's expecting of you. Ask him if you're doing the right things or not, and let him answer you. When he does, faith explodes inside of you, because how does faith come? By hearing God talk to you, right? Whether through the word or through your spirit. And once that faith is activated inside of you, it changes your life. You can have confidence in that area. So as you go to him more and more, doesn't it say we're supposed to come to his throne of grace, getting help in a time of need? Well, this is how you come to it. You actually engage your physical body, your actual mouth and lips, your actual spirit and invisible person there and engage with him. And when you get your answers, it will stay and linger with you. Amen? Has this helped anyone? I'm guilty in the past of praying with my eyes closed and getting some kind of an intuitive answer and running with that. I have found by engaging my whole spirit, soul, and body into my relationship with the Lord, it lingers and stays much stronger with me. Because, look, since we're in our Bibles, let's go. Romans chapter 12. This I actually do, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Ready? Romans chapter 12. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. How do you present it? How do you actually present your body to God? Abstaining from doing evil things? Is that how you do it? Maybe. Maybe that's how some of us think about it. But how about actually presenting yourself, giving yourself to Him? Actually, in one of these exercises that I do, I sit there and I just talk to Him and I say, Lord, you know all. You know what I'm going through. You know what I'm thinking about. You know it all. Please help me with these areas. I'm going to abstain from doing this thinking evil thoughts or hurtful thoughts, or thoughts of lack and weakness, thoughts of me not being enough. I'm going to do my best to put those aside. And I just ask you to just honor my intentions of doing that. And He does. Because I actually bring it to Him. And to renew my mind, how do I renew my mind? I've got to get new pictures in there. I've got to get new pictures of how my life goes. I have got to see myself healthy. I have got to see myself whole. And I can do that. I can sit down and get a picture of me being healthy and hold it. And hold that picture and honor the Lord in that till that picture creates a real picture inside of me. As we do that, we will start getting the results of these new things. Because where we have faith to be healed, we'll be healed. God will do it for us. Where we have faith to walk in abundance, we'll walk in abundance. Because we have faith for that. We believe it's possible. If you got resistance in an area where your body is not doing what it's supposed to be doing, or your brain's not doing what it's supposed to be doing, or your neighbor's not doing what it's supposed to be doing, you can take time to bring that before the Lord and talk about it and share with Him. And how does He want you to handle that? And let Him show you what to do. So we're engaging our spiritual person and our natural person together to walk these things out in our lives. Amen? Have I given you something to think about? All right, last verse. Ephesians chapter 1. Ready? Verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the Spirit. Or even if it's a Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. God gives you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That's knowing Him. How does He do that? The eyes of your understanding in the New King James, that word understanding, it's actually in the Greek, there's several Greek manuscripts. There's two words that are put there, either cardia or dianoia. In my Greek, it puts both of them side by side, one in parentheses. Heart or mind. Heart or imaginations. Heart or understanding. Dianoia is your deep thoughts, the real, what you really think underneath it all. What really is motivating you. What's really actually on your mind as far as who you are and what this world looks like and what's true and what's real. That's your dianoia, your deep idea of what's real and true. So he's saying here, the eyes of your deep thoughts, your deep understanding, your imaginations being enlightened. That means to have rays of light shed upon it. In other words, be open to see, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, of what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and mights and dominions and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. So what he's saying is that our invisible person on the inside of us, the eyes of our imaginations, the eyes of the inside person of us, would actually have wisdom and revelation knowing God. We have to go there to do that. Just like in the natural, you go there when you're angry with somebody and you rehearse what you're going to say, how you're going to handle it, what you're going to do when they're upsetting you about something. The exact same way you do that in the natural when you've got a physical, real life problem is the same way you do it in the spirit for the future. Memories link you to the past. This will create a new future. You let go of that and you start operating spiritually now and walking forward as you spend time in your inner person, moving forward in the possibilities of what God is doing, the possibilities of how he's going to interact in your life. And I'm telling you guys, the Holy Spirit is so faithful to show up. He's so faithful to quicken you. He's so faithful to give you God bumps in situations. He's so faithful to bring the right people in line with you. He is so faithful to open up opportunities that you didn't even know were possible. He is so faithful to be a miracle just waiting to happen when you just touch that person. Because you've laid down all the other stuff and you start living in the possibilities of God and who he is. Oh, I'm telling you. I have secret beliefs, good ones, that I don't really share a lot. Pastor Trey knows a lot of them because I can never get away from him. But I spend a lot of time with him. But the rest of y'all don't know. But I'm telling you what, I start believing for things. And I do my best to get y'all on board believing the same thing I'm believing, if you can't tell. Like I started believing for this worship team. I got here. They were recorded CDs, singing along to recorded CDs. And Pastor Trey's up there singing along with recorded CDs. I said, I sure like this church, but they need a worship team. Right? And we started building a vision for a worship team. Building a vision for something that did not exist. And we started speaking, Lord, thank you for the great worship team we have. There's nobody there. Thank you, Father, for the music that they're playing, that they're able to bridge the old and the new together so that all generations can enjoy you, Lord. Thank you for the skilled artist. Thank you for the piano player. Guess what? Judy didn't even come to our church yet, did she? Nope. But we needed a piano player. Enter Judy and Grant Barton. God moved them here for one reason or another. Boom. Oliver. Boom. All these people. Boom, boom, boom. Started building a worship team. Right? And then he started building from there. And then guess what? The anointing started growing in the church. And God, we started seeing things happen. So then we start believing God for more people, more education of the Word of God. And things just started exponentially increasing because in the Spirit, we started building it first. And we started building it in the invisible realm, speaking it into existence that didn't exist. Even though it seemed like we were lying. But what we learned was we take our attention off of what is and what was, and we put it on what we want in the Spirit. We let go of what is, and we don't call it what stays. We let it be whatever it is, and we give it the opportunity to change. We make the space for it to become different. And in the Spirit, we create what we actually want. And as we're doing that and moving that way, guess what? Your old life and the devil hates it because he likes you in bondage. So what happens when you start doing that? Oh, the projector breaks. Brand new projector breaks. Devil just says, I can't stand you guys stepping out in faith like that. So I'm just going to throw a monkey wrench. Your worship's more anointed? Great. I'm going to break the projector. Guess what? We worshiped anyway. Bless God. We all turned around and looked at that TV and started worshiping instead. We just did that instead. And then he goes, we're getting back in it. The momentum's growing. The worship team's doing awesome. The preaching is fantastic. People are loving each other. The glory of God is growing up. Boom! The AC unit breaks. Old people, the religious folk that are trapped in their way of thinking are believing we shouldn't be doing that stuff. Look, all these things are breaking. God ain't honoring all this. That's a lie. That's the devil. It's the old habit way of thinking. It's the old way of living. Doesn't want to let go. Doesn't want you to change. So you get problems. You ever been believing for somebody to get healed and as soon as you start praying for them, they get worse? Yeah, you know why? The devils don't want you to, they want you to let go. You know what we did instead? We praised the Lord, got a temporary AC unit. Right there, there it is, blowing right now, nice and cool. Amen? He isn't going to stop us because we are giving our attention to growing in the Spirit, increasing the possibilities in God, including more people, doing a better job of making a spot where the kingdom of God can manifest in this place. And it all starts through the architecture of our imagination of possibilities in God. Because he's always on. He's always a healer. He's always our Father. He's always God Almighty. We just have to shake off the earthly and start living according to the heavenly. Amen? So I encourage you, take the time to walk mentally through your life with the Lord. Engage the deep thoughts, the eyes of your understanding, your imagination, and just start walking through. See your life really different and hone in on it until you see it differently. When you get before the Lord, no sickness in your body, no deficiencies in your mind. It's all gone. And bring that feeling of that wholeness back out when you come back out again. And you will start seeing it happen. Amen? But the thing is, you got to keep it up because it'll scatter if you don't keep it focused and keep it going. That's why we stick with it. Take a time of your day where possibilities can exist. And go in there and start doing some things in the kingdom of God. Amen? I love you guys.